Blog Talk Radio.
Into home, Helen R. Ministry of Empowerment. Welcome home. Truly, today is the day that the Lord hath made, and we will rejoice and be glad in it. I hear the scripture saying, oh, magnify the Lord with me, and let us exalt his name together. Truly, this is a wonderful day that we, as the children of God, to exalt the wonderful name of Jesus. Truly, he is great, and he is greatly to be praised. I hear the scripture say, oh, magnify the Lord with me, and let us, yes, you, let us exalt that wonderful name of Jesus together. I want to welcome you right here at home and for you to come on in and grab your Bible, and we're going to look at a wonderful lesson on today about God revealed himself as faithful, and talking about the revelation of God. And so grab your Bible, come on in, make yourself right at home. Again, thank you for allowing me to come into your places of abode today. I know without a shadow of a doubt, oh yes, I feel it in my spirit, that God is going to greatly, greatly bless you on today. Let's look at, we're going to be going to the Old Testament on today, and we're going to look out of the book of Deuteronomy, chapter number 7, and we're going to look at verses number 6 through verse number 10 at the wonderful word of God today. Again, we're talking about the faithfulness, how God revealed himself to be faithful unto man. Deuteronomy chapter number 7, verse 6 through 10, it reads on this line, for thou art an holy people unto the Lord thy God. The Lord thy God has chosen thee to be a special people unto himself, above all people that are upon the face of the earth. The Lord did not set his love upon you, nor choose you, because you were more in number than any people, for ye were the fewest of all people. But because the Lord loved you, and because he would keep the oath which he has sworn unto your fathers, hath the Lord brought you out with a mighty hand, and redeemed you out of the house of the bondmen, for the hand of Pharaoh, the king of Egypt. Know therefore that the Lord thy God, he is God and the faithful God, the which keepeth covenant and mercy with them that love him and keepeth his commandments to 1,000 generations, and repay them that hate him to their face to destroy them. He will not be slack to him that hateth him. He will repay him to his face. Now let's take a look at Deuteronomy chapter 7, verse 9. Know therefore that the Lord thy God, he is God, the faithful God, which keepeth covenant and mercy with them that love him and keep his commandment to 1,000 generations. Let's take a look at the word of the Lord on today in regards to God revealing him his faithfulness unto his people. Now, everything we know and believe about God in his book is based on his faithfulness. We often emphasize that being faithful to one another and to God, but today we will examine God's faithfulness to us. If God was not faithful, any effort of faithfulness on our part would be vain. Trusting him would be futile. But thanks be unto God, he is faithful in every respect. In this lesson, we're going to investigate three aspects of his faithfulness of God: his immutability in his nature, faithful in his character, and constant in his dealing. And so that's what we're going to look at on today about God's faithfulness. Now, one of the greatest disappointments in the arena of human suffering is when friends prove to be unfaithful. The breaking of friends' promise dissolves the friendship and crushes us because we expected them to be true to us. Now, the world and everything that is in it can be also can let you down. But God does not. He changes not, making his faithfulness permanent and unchanging as well. He can trust, and we can trust our divine friend to be faithful, and he will never waver. The scripture says that, I am the Lord, I change not, Malachi 3 and 6. Jesus Christ the same yesterday, today, and forever, Hebrews 13 and 8. For we all will highlight in the slight nuance between the term nature and character of God. Now, as we take a closer look at these terms, we can give us an insight from the two different perspectives. We also will study God's consistency in his dealing with us. And then we also will take a look at how he oversees even the universe which he has created, and how it still yet depends upon God's faithfulness to orbit even the planets around the world. Now, he also oversees it from a distance and does not interfere with his function, somewhat like an absentee landlord. Now, according to the deity, he had created the world and he stepped back and he stayed out of the affairs of mankind. We know that this belief is erroneous, for God intervened very much in the affairs of man. He does it wisely, justly, and consistently when he intervenes in the affairs of man. I can say for surety that I am so glad he intervened in my affairs and touched me one day and awakened my mind and my spirit and heart to him. And I had a yes in my spirit. Now let's look further. Now, God is immutable in his nature. You know, a person's nature is the core of their being, and it cannot separate it or be separated from it. It's like separating the platelet from the whole blood or cream from the whole milk. Now, his nature is an inherent inborn, thus proving and proving a person's nature reveal the reality of that person, his essence, and of his essential character, and the quality of that individual is their nature. Now, some people choose to disguise their nature. They project and contrive a persona designed to impress their peers. They act out of a personality that reflects only what they want others to see, like furniture made of a particular plyboard and covered with a shiny oak veneer. Although we cannot see beneath the veneer, God can observe the true essence of an individual's nature. The Bible said that man looks on the outward appearance, but the Lord looketh on the heart, 1 Samuel 16 and verse number 7, and weighs the spirit, Proverbs 16 and 2. Now, in contrast, the nature of God is genuine through and through, like a furniture that is actually made of oak, solid wood. The psalmist wrote, of old hast thou laid the foundation of the earth, and the heavens are the works of thine hand. They shall perish, but thou shalt endure, yea, all of them shall wax old like a garment, and as a vesture shall thy change them. And they shall change, but thou art the same, thy years shall be and have no end to it. And you'll find that over in Psalms 102, verses 25, down to verse number 27, talking about the immutability, the unchangeable nature of God. When we have people who change on us quickly and swiftly, God, he will not change. And he is someone that we can always depend upon and know that he will be true. Let us look further at God as being immutable. Four interesting biblical examples provide insight about the immutability nature of God, although at the first they may appear to indicate God changed. Now let's take a look at these four aspects on today. The first one that we're going to look at, that God repented that he had made man, and it grieved his heart. And we'll find it over in Genesis chapter number 6 and verse number 5 through verse number 6. And it said, this statement does not assume any variableness in the nature or purpose of God, for God never repented. Any misunderstanding of this passage would change from what repentance means to us as human. Our repentance and regrets arise from our changeableness. Our desires and action fluctuate according to temptation, moods, and impulse and circumstances, and which necessitate repentance on our part. But this is never the case with God. The repentance of God simply referred to what theologian would call the feeling of God expressed in a way that we can understand. Now, the wickedness and the evil imagination of his beloved human creation pierced his heart so with an overwhelming grief and disappointment for mankind. Now, let's look a little further at our next point, that God repented of his intention to destroy the people of Israel. And you'll see that over in Exodus 32 and verse 14. Now, after Moses, desperate intercession for Israel, God repented of his intention to destroy the people for worshiping the golden calf. Still, as the unchangeable, true, faithful God, Jehovah would not and could not revoke the promise he had given to Abraham, Isaac, and Jacob. And therefore, even if he had destroyed the people, he would have fulfilled the promise through Moses by making him a great man. Let's look further at point number 3. God repented that he would make Saul king over Israel. 1 Samuel verses 15, chapter 15, verses 11 and verse 35. Saul rebelled against God's instruction when he spared the Amalekites and King Agag and the best of the sheep and cattle to offer a significant sacrifice to God. Now, the prophet Samuel rebuked him and announced God's rejection of him, and Saul admitted his sin and asked for pardon. Sadly, his repentance did not reflect remorse, but alarmed at God's rejection of him. Saul pressed his plea for mercy, hoping God would change his mind, but Saul declared God would not change his mind. Samuel actually declared that God would not change his mind and would rip the kingdom away from his lineage of Saul. And the prophet said, the strength of Israel will not lie nor repent, for it is not a man, but he should repent. 1 Samuel 15 and 29. Now, let's look at our next point about, again, we're looking at the immutability of God. God repented of the evil he had intended for Nineveh. You'll see that over in Jonah 3 and 10. When the Ninevites repented of their violent cruelty and sin, even though it did not last, it lasted as show their susceptibility to the prophetic word of God. Now, their willingness to forsake their ways, evil ways, allowed God to extend his mercy and grace to them. He did this not only for the sake of Nineveh, but also for his own people would see his consistency in forgiving the sins of any repentant person, whether sinner or saint. Although judgment for sin is sure, hope for salvation is just as sure as well. God will always allow it, though. Now, let's take a look at another aspect on today about man is inconsistent, and we recognize that in things. Let's take a look at that. The world is in flux, and we know that. So many different things that are going on and changing, and we recognize that many things are happening and things. And as we see these things are taking place right around us and things is taking effect upon many people too as well. And just like as a human being is going through different effects, not only the universe and the nature, it affects our bodies and things. Every day we notice an incremental change. As we grow older, we begin to lose muscle mass, memory, eyesight. We acquire wrinkles, illness, and aches. Along with that, our possessions get tattered and dented or ripped or rusted. Relationship changes, the families and the friendship and things, they fractured and are mended back together. Everything is temporary. Nothing is really consistent. To borrow a common biblical phrase, all of these things comes to pass. Now, as we look further as an example of mankind's changeableness, can be seen in the ancient and accident incident at Mount Sinai. Moses, he delivered message that Israel was to be God's special treasure, a kingdom of priests and a holy nation. After he told them what the Lord required, all the people answered together and said, all that the Lord has spoken, we will do. And you'll find that over in Exodus 19 and verse number 8. After they had stated their vow, Moses ascended the mountain and disappeared into the thick cloud smoke. And the people waited for days and weeks, but Moses had not returned. Now, soon they began to think he would never return, and they brought their goals to Aaron, and he made a golden calf. Now, when the people saw the image, they rejoiced. These be thy God, O Israel, which brought thee up out of the land of Egypt. And in Egypt, the slaves had worshipped the bull, which also represented Baal and Canaan. And Aaron announced, tomorrow is a feast to the Lord. And you'll find it over in Exodus 32:5. And the next day they offered burnt offering and peace offering. Now the people's statement coupled with Aaron's pronouncement implied that they blended worship of God with a celebration to the pagan God. Thus it took only 40 days for them to go back on their word. For Moses discovered them celebrating a golden calf when he descended down the mountain. Now, a New Testament example of human changeableness appeared in Matthew 26. Jesus had just told the disciples of his impending passion and death when Peter interrupted. Though all men shall be offended because of thee, yet I will never offend thee. Though I should die with thee, yet I will not deny thee. And that's what Peter was saying over in Matthew 26:33-35. Now, when the temple guards came and arrested Jesus in the garden, Peter threw his sword, drew his sword, and took a swipe at the ear of the servant of the high priest. But that showed his impassionate loyalty evaporated during the long, anxious hours in the cold, shadowy courtyard of the high priest. Before that night was over, Peter had betrayed the loyalty three times that Jesus had said. And so sometimes you don't know what situation you'll find yourself in, but you got to have a made-up mind that you will not, in things, will not betray or deny the Lord our God and hear his own people. And he showed us an example of our ability to be changeable in whatever circumstances or given circumstances that there may be. Now, let's look a little further here as we continue to look at the word of the Lord and things. Change is woven into the fabric of mankind's nature, but the nature of God never wavers. Our mood raises and falls, our feelings wax hot and cold, but God remains steady and remains the same from everlasting to everlasting. Now, let's look further here, as we look at another aspect about God faithful in his character. Now, we can trust God in his faithfulness. Now, Jonah wanted God to hurl fire and brimstone down on Nineveh for the unspeakable consequences of it that they have committed. And the last thing he wanted was for them to repent because he knew God's merciful character. The reluctant prophet finally arrived in the city and for 3 days roared at warning of God's impending judgment. Then he climbed a hill and situated himself at the best vantage point to see what would happen. He waited all day and all night, and nothing happened. And as soon as Nineveh repented, the mercy and grace and good kindness of God would not let him destroy the place. Now, on the surface, it seemed as though Jonah accused God of inconsistency. But underneath the prophet's fury was the reluctant testimony of the immutable character of God. Even though Jonah was not thinking straight, he did not doubt these characteristics of God. Jonah was not God, but he was inconsistent himself. But God is always consistent. Now, also, even Peter's denial of Christ revealed mercy and faithfulness of God. Two times, servants identified Peter as one of Christ's disciples, and he swore that he was not. And finally, one of the high priest's servants, a relative of the man whose ear Peter had severed and accused, "I know you're one of these Jesus' disciples. I saw you in the garden," and Peter shouted for the last time, "I'm telling you, I do not even know the man." Then a rooster pierced the air and crops and things, for at a distance the Lord turned and looked at Peter. Could you imagine seeing the eyes of Jesus being locked upon Peter's eyes? And the words come resounding and ringing back in Peter's ears of what Jesus had just told him, that what he would do, because God, Jesus knew what was in man. Now, that was one sorrowful look that plunged a dagger of grief into his heart and even of his soul as he went out and wept bitterly. Peter repented open as a channel through which God could pour his mercy. Now, we recognize, and I want us to stop there for just a moment, because it's critical for us to recognize that when we repent and ask God to forgive us with godly sorrowness, that God is able to pour his mercy upon us, and we become a channel of the mercies of God, as well as a recipient thereof, of the mercies of God. Now, after Jesus' resurrection, the angel told the women, "Go ye tell his disciple and Peter that he goeth before them into Galilee, and there shall ye see him. And as they said unto you," Mark chapter 16:7, the Lord's characteristic of forgiveness and his permanent calling of Peter would not let him omit the repentant disciple from his invitation. Now, we must recognize character is a composite of an individual characteristic. The attributes, the traits, and the ability that distinguish one from another. Now, these characteristics are not momentarily attributed to the personality, but comprise the basic building block of a person's nature. And that's, as we can say, that when God begins to work on an individual, he's trying to transform the character and the characteristics of that individual to take on the image of God and Christ's characteristics and nature. Now, thus, for the purpose of this lesson, nature is a lucent fabric of an individual, and characteristic is a dynamic that manifests that nature. So we should note that a person can step outside of his character and act uncharacteristically, but God cannot. And we've seen that down through the years, that how people can step out of character and then come back into character. And that sometimes can overthrow the child of God in things, because situation has warned for them to, or they made up their mind to step out of character. And so what we have to do as the children of God, we have to guard our character, that it can always stay in a steadfast place, not up and down, in and out, but at a steadfast place of godliness before the Lord our God, of the character of an individual. And that's why sometimes we can see sometimes in dynamics, relationship, gathering, and things, sometimes people act out of character. in things, but as opposed to trusting God and staying in character. Oh, I hope you caught that. That's profound. And so what we have to do, at no matter what situation comes against us as a child of God, there's enough dunamis power. There's enough power in the Holy Ghost that you can stay in character. You just got to pull on the Holy Ghost to help you to stay in character and things, godly character. Amen? Amen. And so all of these of God's attributes and characteristics, they're always consistent. And that's what he's trying to get us to be, that we can become consistent with the Lord our God. And we become consistent as we begin to constantly strive to be like our Father. I heard one precious mother, she would come and visit the church. Mother Watkins, she would say this. She said, every day I wake up, I ask God to save me some more. And so every day we can wake up and say, God, save me some more. Save my character. Let my character be that of holy and righteously and righteousness before you. Because he's the same yesterday, today, and forever. And you'll find that over in Hebrews chapter number 13 and 8. And the stay in character at all times is going to warrant one stay in prayer and walk in the spirit of prayer and things in communion with God. Now let's look further. We can trust even when we do not understand that God is still yet going to be faithful to his people. Now if we observe the inconsistency in another individual in an area of personal integrity, we tend not to trust them, for we do not understand why they behaved or even responded in such a manner. By the same token, people tend not to believe in God based on their inability to understand some of the things that God does. Now, however, misunderstanding appear and misunderstanding God are two drastically opposite of each other. And when people act in an unexpected and ironic or erratic way, it is only nature for us to draw back with uncertainty and even doubt. We too, as human, are in our inconsistent action have disappointed and even dismayed others as well. However, God's ways are worthy of trust. He said, for as the heaven are higher than the earth, so are my ways higher than the ways, and my thoughts are higher than your thoughts. And we'll find that out of the book of Isaiah 55 and 9. Our trust in him assures we can continue to believe in him, even if we do not understand what he does. And one of the things I find, God's not going to tell us everything, but we have to just trust him. Now, God did not, and even Job, I should say, he did not understand the reason for his suffering. As far as we know, God never did reveal the reason to Job. Further, throughout his trial, Job did not hear one encouraging word from God. He could not find God, even though he searched. And yet, in spite of this, he knew that God was somewhere as well, and he knew that he would be faithful unto him. For now, we must recognize that also, for I know that my Redeemer liveth, and that he shall stand at the latter days upon the earth. And though after my skin worm destroy this body, yet in my flesh shall I see God, whom I shall see for myself, and my eyes shall behold. Job 19, verse 25-27. Now, Job can teach us that regardless of what we go through, whether or not we understand our trial, God is always faithful. Oh, my God. I feel that hit somebody's spirit right there. God is always faithful. And sometimes what we as the children of God, what we have to do, we have to open our mouth and begin to put that prophetic word in the atmosphere and tell our situation, even though I don't feel God, even though I don't see God, even though I don't understand why I'm in this situation, I got to declare to the earth realm, to the heaven realm, to my own realm and to my own individual and mind that God is faithful and that God will do it. Oh, Shayana Dobo Shabna. And I speak that to your spirit. I don't care where you at right about now. I don't care what's going on even in your life right now. God is still yet faithful. And what we have to do is find ourselves in a place of contentment and begin to worship God even in our tight spots, and worship God even when we are in our hot spot. Worship God even when we in a spot where we don't even understand why we there, how we got there, what I'm going to do when I get there, and what I'm going to do while I'm in it. But what we need to do is worship God, praise God for his faithfulness. Oh, child of God, I feel a shout coming on right there. Oh, my. Shandarabosaka. And so it said, let us hold fast the profession of our faith without wavering, for God is faithful. He is faithful, that promise. And so you can stand on that promise like you're standing on the ship liner in the middle of the sea and say, God, I stand on the promise and know that you will take me into shore and put me into a solid place and a wealthy place, that you will do it because your promise, you promise. And all I can just keep saying, God, you promise, and watch God do it, because he know that you're expecting him to come through on your behalf. Further, we must look at God's constant in his dealing. Now, God will always act based on his character. Now, isn't it good that God is acting on our behalf based not on our behavior and not based on our ability or what we can do and what we didn't do, but he's basing his action on his character. Now, let's look here. Now, many people do unto others as others do unto them. If the others keep his promise, they're going to keep theirs. And if the other one is fair, they're going to be fair. But God does not base his faithfulness on our reciprocation of others. He is always faithful and worthy of trust, even when we are not. Now, if we believe not, yet he abides faithful. He cannot deny himself. Oh, 2 Timothy 2:13. None of his action will never conflict with his character, for he cannot act apart from the basis of his own character. Now, God's faithfulness means that he will always follow through, whether the situation called for his judgment or his mercy. For example, he gave Malachi a list of grievance against Judah for his disregard of him and his law. He warned of his certain judgment for those who would not repent. But for those who did, he promised mercy, forgiveness, and healing. He said, for I am the Lord, and I change not. Malachi 3:6. They could not trust him to follow through. They could always trust him to follow through on their behalf and on his promise unto his people. Whether for punishment or whether for salvation, God is going to be faithful. Oh, Shandarabo. So don't you worry. God's going to be faithful. Amen. I just want somebody's heart to be at peace. I don't know who I'm talking to right now. God will be faithful in things on your behalf. Now, Abraham trusted in God's faithfulness dealing with him, and he left his gods and his home, his family, his friend at the Lord's command. Even though he never found the city during this lifetime, he believed God had built it. Even though he had to wait 25 years for the promised son, he staggered not at the promise of God through unbelief, but was strong in faith, giving glory to God, and being fully persuaded that he that had promised, he was going to perform that which he promised. And you'll look that up over in Romans chapter 4, verses 20 through verse 21. Now, let's look at the covenant of God. I'm trying to move expeditiously so you can get it off and things. So God will always keep his covenant. Note that the word, the faithful God, which keeps his covenant, Deuteronomy 7:9. The Lord said, my covenant will I not break, nor alter the thing that has gone out of my lips. Psalms 89:43. Now, when God covenant with us, we can depend on him for a constant, him being constant in his dealing. For all the promises of God in him are yea, and in him, amen, unto the glory of God by us. Now, God's covenant different radically from the covenant of mankind. Now, man can shake hands and choose a business deal, and they can sign a contract legally binding them to its provision. And in the courtroom, they can swear with one hand on the Bible and the other one raised to God. And in church before God and hundreds of witnesses, they can pledge that they're going to share their lives with their spouse until death do them part. But all of these temporal covenants can have been broken by the deceitfulness of man. Now, unlike mankind, God keeps his promise. Faithful is he that called you who will do it. 1 Thessalonians 5:24. He will do what he said he will do. There is no greater guarantee than this, for it is backed by his word. And so the contract and the covenant of man often expire after a specific amount of time. For an example, the fine point of a deed to some time and timeshare property may indicate that ownership expires in 25 years, although this provision is often not advertised. And another example is that the law eminence a domain in which the government has given itself permission to confiscate private real or personal property used in a specific purpose. And so here the Lord's covenant comes with no expiration date. Even with others, we are not faithful to the covenant. After the Israelite entered Canaan, some of the tribes, such as Judah and Simeon, aggressively took other territories of their own inheritance and either destroyed or drove out the inhabitants. Most of the other tribes, however, such as Manasseh and Zebulun and things, Asher and Naphtali and Dan, failed to drive out the inhabitants from the land Joshua had allotted to them and did not destroy the existing altar. Now, Israel close proximity to the Ammonites and things and led them to forge alliance with them. Still, the angel of the Lord appeared to them and reminded them, I made you go up out of Egypt, and I brought you out into a land which I sware unto your father, and I said, I will never break my covenant with you. Now, the Israelites were wept with remorse over their faithfulness and sacrifice to the Lord in the place that they named Bochim, and that means the reapers. And as long as Joshua and the elders of Israel lived, the people served God. Before Joshua died, he spoke soberly to them about the critical choice that they made. And they all vowed, the Lord our God will we serve, and his voice will we obey. Joshua 24:24. However, after the generation was gathered unto their father, there arose another generation after them, which knew not the Lord, nor yet the works which he had done for Israel. And you'll find that over in Judges 2:10. Now, God said he kept his covenant and commandment to 1,000 generations. And if a generation is 30 years, that would be 30,000 years. Obviously, Moses did not mean that God's covenant promise had an expiration date. He used the phrase 1,000 generations to indicate the insurmountable amount of time that it would be unto eternity. This is illustrated by the fact that in the 21st century, God still honors the ancient covenant that he made with Abraham, Isaac, and Jacob. Because the Lord loved you, and because he would not keep the oath, he would keep the oath that he had sworn unto your father had the Lord brought you out with a mighty hand. Know therefore that the Lord thy God, he is God, the faithful God, which keepeth covenant and mercy with them that love him and keepeth his commandment to 1,000 generations. Find that over in Deuteronomy 7:8-9. Now great is thy faithfulness. It's a great hymn that was sung by Thomas T. O. Chisholm, who wrote the lyrics and things, and William M. Runyon wrote the music in 1923, beautifully celebrating the immutability of God. Now let's look at what he said when he penned it. He said, great is thy faithfulness, O God my Father. There is no shadow of turning with thee. Thou changest not. Thy compassion they fail not. As thou hast been, thou forever will be. Great is thy faithfulness. Great is thy faithfulness. Morning by morning, new mercy I see. And all I needed, thy hand provided. Great is thy faithfulness, Lord, unto me. We must recognize undoubtedly when he was inspired by Lamentation 3:22-23, it is of the Lord's mercy that we are not consumed because his compassion fail not. They are new every morning. Great is thy faithfulness. Oh, shadaboshanda. Now, our King is eternal, immortal, invisible. 1 Timothy 1:17, because God is immutable and eternal. His purpose cannot be frustrated. So don't think the devil is going to frustrate your God when it comes to your faithfulness towards you. He can't do that. He is forever living one. And what he has promised, he can and will accomplish. The covenant he made with the Jews is not only everlasting. God made a new covenant, which includes the church and all those who will answer his call to the covenant. The term of the old covenant includes an eternal inheritance, and the term of the new covenant includes an eternal inheritance as well. Jesus is the mediator of the New Testament, and that by means of death, of the redemption of the transgression that were made under the First Testament, that we which are called might receive the promise of eternal inheritance. You'll find that over in Hebrews 9:15. The children of thy servants shall continue, and thy seed shall be established before thee. Psalm 102:28. Because God is eternal, he has the power to grant eternal life to his children. My sheep hear my voice, and I know them, and they follow me, and I give unto them eternal life, and they shall never perish. John 10:27-28. God's covenant shall abide. His children shall abide. His church shall abide. The stability and the welfare of the church are guaranteed by the eternality and the immutability of the Lord our God. And so I come to tell you, child of God, that God's immutability and his character, he operates out of his character, and his character is love, faithfulness, integrity. And I come to tell you that God will bless you. He will open every door unto you. Trust him and stand on his faithfulness and tell him how you choose. Like Sarah said, God, I choose you, and I choose you faithful. I know that you're a faithful God. And she began, she said, I judge you faithful. And so as we begin to judge God as faithful unto us, watch God do some great things in and through and among us as the people of God. Oh, child of God, I feel the power of God. Raise up your head. Stand back up. Hold back fast. Get back in your word. Hold fast to the word of the Lord our God. Speak up, open your mouth, and prophesy, and tell God how you trust him, that he is faithful for you and your children and your family, and that his mercy fails not. Talk about his immutability before him, and watch him open that door. Watch him bless you, child of God. And so, child, as I get ready to close, I just feel the anointing, the power that he's getting ready to break that yoke and destroy it. But I come to tell you on today that in my closing on today, as I always would say, if you don't have it, God got it, and you are just one question away from your miracle. All you need to do is ask, and it shall be given. Seek, and you shall find. Knock, and the door, or it, shall be open unto you. According to Matthew 7:7, the God that which we serve, he's immutable, and he loves you, and he is faithful. He showed himself to be faithful to his people, and he's still yet showing himself to be faithful unto us. He's a covenant-keeping God. Go on, be blessed in the Lord, and in the power of his might. Until we meet again, I pray that you call somebody and tell someone to come and listen at these wonderful lessons at home. I know you've been blessed. I've been blessed. I felt the power of God exuding through this lesson and session. I pray that the blessings of the Lord will continue to make you rich. Yes, you. and your family and your children and your children's children, your seed and your nation, to be rich and add no sorrow to you. May the blessings of the Lord keep you until we meet again. It's my prayer that you will be blessed. Until we meet again, bye-bye.